to peace. To welcome to episode 94 of Two Piece Start Live. He's Tim.
He's Ray.
What's up?
I figure it doesn't matter how I talk, because you're just going to garage band up my voice anyway, right?
I'll put you through an auto-tune filter.
You and your control clicks.
Well, the editing of your voice and making you sound twice as manly as what you really are is always a normal editing process for the podcast.
Yep, I believe it.
Because what happens is I use so many filters for you, I run out for me, so mine's still just as high-pitched as always. Well, do you want to get right to Comic Talk?
Sure, let's do it, yeah.
Very different show this week, because Comic Talk really has nothing to do with normal video games. This week we had Pixel Vision Adventures Mission 2 Head for the Goal, which is the long-anticipated return of Lace.
You're not kidding about long-awaited. I was going back through the archives, and I'm scrolling down, I'm like, it's got to be here somewhere. Scrolling down. January 28th.
It's amazing.
It's been
30 comics.
Yeah.
30 comics since we got back to that. Has it really been that long? If someone were to have told me, oh yeah, and Ray, you won't have Mission 2 for another 30 comics, I probably would have just been like, dude, give me some razor blades and let's get my life over with right now. Like, this is insane. What's going on? Like, oh, jeez.
Yeah, I always love the Lace comics.
I love that. Hold on. But we talk about, like, it's been around forever. Like, oh, I've always loved the Lace comics. Oh, you mean the one?
Okay, but
only had
the
one
video,
comic.
The video is, like, 85
yes.
comics.
Now, this comic's interesting because its main purpose is not to be funny. In fact, I would say the primary focus of the Lace comics at this point is to establish her and establish her world. And so it's a really difficult balance, because when I was working on the strip, I was using the same sort of background from the first comic. And I was like, ah, no, people aren't going to like this, because they're going to be like, it's been 30 weeks and you're using the same background as before. Like, what's the update here? But at the same time, I see it more as like, this is going to be a long ongoing thing. And at the moment, it feels kind of stunted, like, that's it? But I know, like, in the future, when we have lots more, we'll be able to go back and look at it and be like, oh, look how we took our time with each little thing. You know, like, look how it all stacks up now over time. Instead of going back and looking, be like, oh, yeah, see, Comic 2 was when we rushed in all these things. You know, we shouldn't have done that so soon.
It's funny, because this idea for the comic was something I mentioned for the if two-piece start were daily.
Yeah, this joke was the original three-panel comic idea.
Yeah, so the joke was never supposed to be like, you know, okay, Ray really wants to do an amazing Lace comic, so let me think of this amazing idea. But it was actually sort of funny for being, you know, a Lace comic, and Ray kind of wanted to save it for, you know, the actual, a real comic. So
yeah, can I fill people in real quick? Because I think a lot of people are very confused about what the heck half of this stuff is anyways. So really fast, we'll make this really quick. Lace is a character I created for an album I did in 2005 called Pixel Vision, which was basically a soundtrack to an imaginary video game. So I established that Lace is trying to uphold the pristine look of pixelated video game land that she lives in, and the evil anti-alias is coming in to kind of take over. She has to fight off the evil doppelganger. And so eventually we decided to bring this comic idea to the site, which then took it kind of to a new angle, which was that Lace doesn't realize she's in a video game. So her view of what happens in video games is very strange. You know, it's like, why does this happen? Like, I don't understand this. Why does this happen to me in my life? Sort of feeling unknowing that there's a designer working on things. So a lot of people were confused by the joke of like, games get delayed all the time. What's the joke? Like, that's nothing original. Like, yeah, you're right. You know, games do get delayed all the time. That's not funny. What is interesting, though, is imagine if you were the character in that game and you're being like play tested, right? You're in beta mode and you're going along. You're like, all right, I'm going to fight. I was told in the front I'm going to fight anti-alias, and you show up and you're like, delayed till second quarter 2000. What does that even mean? Like, why does this keep happening to me? Like, this is just strange. So it's kind of interesting to see it from like an inside character angle.
And that's kind of been the problem with coming up with new ideas for Lace jokes, I think, because if the joke is always, this happens in video games and it's happening to Lace and she doesn't know it, that type of thing, then it might eventually just seem kind of redundant. There has to be kind of a fresh...
And so to try to make jokes about new things that people don't know about yet, I mean, that's difficult to begin with.
Well, the only... I mean, there's two ways you can take Lace, I think. You can go the daily comic format, where you're just making jokes with certain characters, and they happen to be characters within a video game. Or, you know, you come up, or you do what we have sort of been doing, and you make jokes about video games in general and some of the stereotypical things that we all kind of know and love and would laugh at, and put them in hopefully a creative way into her world.
Yes.
And so, you know, we are trying to be choosy about, you know, what we do and don't do. But
right, and it's interesting because John Watts was quizzing me a lot on different things. He became very curious about it, and he's like, well, does Lace do such and such? And, you know, as though the game actually existed, I would have answers like yes or no, like immediately. And it's like, that's funny because it doesn't actually exist, yet I know exactly what should be in it at times. And other things he would bring up, I'm like, that's a cool concept. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Maybe that could
I think that's why you gotta get some of this down on paper so that
we can refer to it later.
When I become an expert game programmer, We can make an iPhone game for it or something.
with really moon floaty controls, right?
Oh, that'd be awesome, actually. The game doesn't even exist, but we make a port of it as though
terrible.
It were on an NES.
As though it were the worst game ever made.
And then just make it awful on purpose. Now, I do have a question about the mushroom. If it's pixelated, how come there are broken off pixels and it's like smooth on the top? Because like even Lace herself is not made of pixels.
Well, there might be a very specific reason for that.
Well, my thought was that Anti-Alias made her that way, and that the version of her that we see, like for instance in the promo image, is the real true Lace.
Maybe. I don't know. You're onto something, but I don't think you've quite hit it. I actually do know the answer, by the way. I just don't want to give it away yet. Well, for every great comic comes great comments, this week's suggestion box was no different. Let me sum up every single comment real quick.
Please do.
Here's the Omni comment, which is, nice to see Lace again. Didn't really like the joke so much, but the art looks really good.
The other variation was, the artwork was awesome, but I hated the joke. more extreme
that way.
Is this
the death of two-piece start? My comment of the week goes to Sniffit, but to set this up, Devin said, does anyone else find it weird that Lace has no face? I mean, at least the mouth would make it less creepy. Maybe some eyebrows? Sniffit kind of gets to it a little bit here. He says, I think Lace works without a face. It seems like a technical limitations thing, just like how Mario has a hat because hair was too hard to animate. I like to think the first Lace game made for Game Boy Color back in 1999 was a bit simpler, and so a simpler character model was needed. Now, I'm sure when the series prequel Pixel Vision Adventures Rise of Anti-Alias comes out on the DS in fourth quarter 2010, Lace's model might get an update. I hear they're even going to render her in 3D for the first time. Well, unless it gets delayed, of course.
Of course.
Very funny snippet. Yeah, I actually... It is intentional. I want to harken back to the more simpler times of games, where she's a girl, but she doesn't really have any serious physical features that make her a girl. She's not overly sexed up or anything. And yeah, it's that simple. At the same time, though, it's also a challenge to me, because it's a lot easier to do expressions when you have a face, and it's a lot more difficult to make a character show off different expressions without any sort of facial recognition like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think my comment hits on some of those same ideas. Ultimate DK said, it's good to be back. In the next to last panel, Lace looks like a guy. A silhouette would even make her look like Dr. Krygor from the WarioWare series. And I was just thinking, given the cinematic nature of this week's comic, perhaps Lace would be better suited as an animated video as opposed to a comic. Easier said than done, I realize, but hey, the 2P Start YouTube account needs to be dusted off, guys. Well, to the last point... Obviously, Lace kind of started her life as
a video, a
music
right,
video.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that he's right. She makes an awesome. We should repost that. I think you know.
Yeah. I'll that's actually a good idea. I'll repost that.
Yeah, because I think there's a lot of people that haven't seen it. But yeah, you know, I made the same comment to you about her looking like a guy. And I think that was...
And you know, to be honest, that is kind of purposeful. I wanted to be something that incorporates both genders, but still is technically one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kind of like Nights into Dreams. Nice doesn't have a gender, but it kind of has both qualities about it.
So basically, she's a she-male.
No, I just, again, I mean,
I'm teasing.
Just...
No, but I do have a question, though, for you.
Yes.
When does she get her rocket pack?
Yes. I mean, that's something. I mean, here's the problem. It's like, I want to introduce the rocket pack, and I alluded to this with the marking on the back of her in the first panel.
Yes.
But, like, I don't really know what to do that would make it funny, you know? And that's kind of the problem there. Like it's like, well, I want to introduce it, but I want it to be funny. But maybe it doesn't need to be funny. Maybe the Lace comics don't have to be funny at all.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe that. Boy, that would sure take a burden off of us just trying to fit something in.
Right.
Just to fit it in.
Maybe it should just be more of a showcase for. Hey, look at this cool idea.
What if we ended up designing the entire game through comics?
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be awesome.
And I mean, I would like to introduce Anti-Alias. I just want to do it right. And now that we've finished the first stage, we have some room. I mean, it could be a cutscene next or something, right? I mean, there's some options here.
Or we could just reboot, you know, like Hollywood. reboot.
We get two comics in. We're gonna reboot the franchise.
Well, because we don't want to make them funny anymore,
you know
so we're rebooting.
Bigger breasts. That's what she needs.
Oh gosh.
But from here, we're going to move on to. Ricka Ricka Remix. With the segment I mentioned, a video game remix favorite. Who made it and where you can download it? This week it's a remix from Ristar on the Sega Genesis called Ocean Flame Groove by Four Eyes. Take a listen to a short sample. Yourself, just head back to the page you grabbed this episode of Two Piece Art Live from, or the link is right there for those of you listening to our M4A version of the show. And also, you know, real quick, your comment earlier, you guys need to dust off your YouTube channel. Come on.
If we were a YouTube-oriented site and did that instead of comics, then I'd say, yeah, you're right.
If we have an idea that makes us want to do a video, which, by the way, takes a lot more time, then it's like, yeah, we'll do the video. But for the most part, we don't just want to do videos just to have them.
If
that's
going to
be just kind of a really very rare thing that happens every once in a while.
You should just put weekly videos of you just talking randomly,
yes.
Like responding to other videos online. I just watched the music video for the new Frey song, and this is what I think about it.
Oh, did you guys see the Final Destination trailer? Well, here's the full thing. We'll watch it on my video right now.
I'll talk over it so that you can hear what I think about it.
No, we'll show the whole thing, and then I'll play it again with me talking over it. Then I'll have different parts in slow motion. I never understood that.
There's so many YouTube videos out there. I want to look up something specific, you know? I'm like, oh, here's one. And it starts, like, normal. And then it's like, there's, like, a farting noise. And then they repeat that part in slow motion.
It's
I'm like I don't... Who would want to see what you just did in 5 minutes with your poor editing skills?
What about the videos where it's like... Something, it's like you spend all this time building up to something and it's over really quickly. And you're like, why didn't you just edit it down to like just the one part I wanted to watch?
Oh, yeah.
What's with every video starting with a blue screen with white text that flows horizontally from both directions?
And that's got to be like the default some major video editing software. and white, that's the default, and no one bothers to change it.
Who thought of blue and white as the default? Like, okay, we're going to be making a template everyone in the world will be using for the next 10 years. Oh, blue and white. Floating from the sides, of course. Come on.
The other thing that bothers me about YouTube is they just camcorder their TiVo, you know?
Right.
So I'm like, I want to watch when this pitcher got hit in the face with the pitch, you know? there's 10 of them, and they're all just guys on their couch TiVoing it and playing it back at, like, some odd angle and poor lighting conditions.
There's,
like
a dog in the background barking.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to see that. I want to see, like, capture the actual footage, you know? Come on.
What I hate is when people just... Like, for example, when Brawl was doing the daily updates, they'd post a new video. I swear within 10 minutes, like 500 people would post that video to their channel. I'm like, listen, all you need to do is go to and just do a search. And if that video shows up, then so be it. I don't understand the people who post other videos on their channel. You know, like, as though they're going to become bigger stars because of it.
They're hoping that they're the one, their video is the one that gets watched a lot.
And then so what, though?
I guess if enough people subscribe to their channel, then they can, I don't know.
I don't understand people. I really don't.
Well, I remember when they were doing the Brawl updates, and you'd always show me the funny videos of guys, like, just responding to it.
Like, that's right.
No, they weren't even responding. They're like, about to go up in 5 minutes, and I'm going to do this video until it goes up. I'm going to just keep refreshing my browser. And so what do you guys think it's going to be? Like, it could be a new character.
He's all alone in his room. Listen, it's what we were all doing is the thing. Like, that's what's so funny. He was just willing to record
himself. He was actually
broadcasting
it.
Yes, and then, like, the update would show up, but the view wouldn't be of the screen. It would just be of him at his computer. So, like, it would pop up, and he's like, whoa. You know, like, what?
He's, like, reading it, like, for, like, 5 minutes. What? I don't get it. I hate YouTube. I really do. Well, you know, it certainly seems to me that the whole social networking thing really has... It's going to raise a generation of very egocentric people. You know what
totally.
I mean?
Yeah.
Twitter's fine and all, but I don't want to know what you're eating for breakfast every day. And neither does anybody else. But
I live by this mantra, okay? This is like my code. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. We have a big thing in this country about freedom. And like, well, I have the freedom to do such and such, right? Like, I understand you can. Doesn't mean you should. This also goes for the internet. That's the thing that our social networking generation has to get over, which is, hey, I have the power to do this. It's like, yes, but should you really? Well, do you want to take a call?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, it looks like we have Moonjuice7 on the line. Hey, welcome to 2BStar Live.
Thank you.
So, where are you calling from?
I am calling from Utah right now. I'm at college. Typically, would be calling from Northern California.
Oh, cool.
All right.
So, do you have a question for us?
I do. What Sweet. Are your most embarrassing stories that you don't mind sharing over the podcast?
You know, okay. I got one just last night, actually, which is actually great. I was out at a little karaoke bar last night, which I've never done anything like that in my life before. And they're like, oh, Ray, you should sing a song, you know, because obviously my singing skills are magnificent, apparently. And I decided I wanted to do Rich Girl by Hall & Oates. You're a rich girl, and you're going too far, because you know it don't. Like, wow, right, you have way too much class. So I'm like, I know, I love the song, I want to do it. I go up to do the song, and the DJ's like, hey, I couldn't find that anywhere in my karaoke list. Like, like, I know it's in the book, but I couldn't find it. Like, did you have anything else that you wanted to do? And I'm like, well, the only thing I could think of was... The Sweet Escape by Gwen Stefani. And so, like, I get done, and I'm like, I just think to myself, I swear I'm not gay, you know? And so this guy came up to me 5 minutes later, and he's like, hey, great job on that song. I'm like, thanks. But I had to ask, like, really, there's three reasons why he would have asked such a thing, right? I mean, either A, he actually enjoyed my performance, and for some reason he still went out of his way 5 minutes later to tell me, good job. B, he couldn't wait to make fun of me, you know, because he thought it was hilarious. Or C, he wanted to get with me, you know,
yes.
and it was just a
and
little...
And which was it?
I was like, thanks,
you
and I walked away.
You didn't stick around long enough to find out.
I should have been like, you play Smash Brothers, by the way?
Yeah.
That's what I should have been asking. Gosh. I don't know, is that embarrassing enough?
Sure.
I might think of another one while Tim's gone.
Oh, I have to do one too?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. You know, we want to be fair.
Oh, boy. I might have tripped once. That was kind of embarrassing.
Oh, get out.
No. I actually, in college, had to be rushed to the hospital. And so what happened was the soap dish was broken. Like, somebody had dropped, like, a bottle of shampoo on it, and it broke. And it's like this ceramic soap dish thing in the shower. I was taking a shower, like, 2 weeks later. I bend down to, like, fix the shower curtain and slice open, like, a really, really deep gash in the side of my left cheek. And I have soap all over my body, and I have blood streaming down my leg. So to this day, I've got a big old scar. I can no longer be a butt model.
Wow, TMI, Tim. Yeah. Now, is this on YouTube anywhere, by the way?
No, but I could send you a picture for the podcast if you want it.
You're terrible. Well, Moonjuice 7, how about you?
I don't know. I didn't come prepared to
figure it out.
I see how this
is.
Yeah,
you can dish it out, but you can't take it, huh?
Really, you hate the site, and you're like, I'm going to embarrass these guys and get out of there.
All right, well, it was great having you on, Moonjuice.
Great to be here.
Well, hey, take care.
All right.
See you later.
Hey, that went well.
Yeah. Seemed very nice.
And good audio quality, too, which is always appreciated.
Yes, yes.
Well,
yes.
I think it's time that we...
Well?
Do a little grave digging. It's time to rise from your grave.
Grave digger.
Many Two-Piece Star fans tend to lurk behind the shadows, hiding their faces by continually reading our comics, but never daring to leave a single comment.
How dare they.
So when one finds the courage to break free from the shackles of silence... We salute you.
Supersonic Goku. Hey, guys. I think it's time I rise from my grave.
Rise from your grave.
I really like this week's podcast. Tim's right about the Twitter and Facebook thing. I always connect to the internet on my Xbox via my laptop, so why would I want to tweet from my Xbox while I'm next to my laptop? It's really stupid. Also, if you didn't know, Verizon Fios has added Twitter and Facebook to the widget area. I find that very stupid. The last thing you'd want to do would be using a remote to type.
Oh, that's all we need is a keypad on the remotes now. As if there weren't enough buttons on the dang freaking things. They put so many buttons on remotes that don't need to be there. And they put them in the most bizarre order, too, which is just beyond me. It's like, really? Play, then rewind, then fast forward? Like, really? I mean, come on, people. Well, thanks, Supersonic Goku, for rising from your grave. We appreciate it. And those of you who are still lurking behind the shadows, by all means,
how dare you?
Jump out, say hi. And those of you who want to be on the show and talk with us for a little bit, we love all of our callers. Just message me on Skype at Raybob Industries, and I'll fill you in on the details on what to do.
All right, last...
It's that time,
it's the
Tim,
end.
For the dreaded Black Doom Award. Whoa. Each week, Tim and I both mention a terrible choice made related to video games in honor of the most atrocious character Sonic Team has ever created.
Ray.
Vector the Crocodile.
Rogue.
Black Doom. It's Rouge.
Rouge. Rogue Rouge, whatever.
My Black Doom Award isn't necessarily going to Sony specifically, but a general thing I have a problem with, which is a double-edged sword. So I'm going to offend some people here, but...
What, you hate double-edged swords? What's wrong with that?
It's kind of a double-edged sword, you know what I mean? This article from Joystick, a growing thread on the official PlayStation 3 forum alleges the recent hardware-firmware upgrade to version 3.00 has spawned a host of controller connection issues for PlayStation 3 users. According to the forum, various wireless controllers, some users specifically naming DualShock 3 model CECHZC2H, are unable to connect to the console. When turned on, users claim the controller LEDs for ports 1 and 2 activate, but the control remains inoperable. You know... Maybe it's just me. I just never thought I'd come to the day when I had to be worrying about firmware updates and controller models and wireless technologies. Now, it's like I'm literally dealing with a computer on the living room floor. You know, it's like, oh, do you have your web password for the wireless network? And did you get the latest firmware upgrade? And all this, like, all this stuff. I'm really kind of sick of it. And I'm really hoping... Like, on one hand, I really enjoy the things that, you know, these kind of technologies bring to us, where we can download games over the internet and get updates to games, but at the same time, there's a lot of bad things that come from it, too, and I really kind of, I want to go back to the simpler days of gaming, where, you know what, that's the game, that's just how it is, you just gotta live with it. I don't know, maybe that's just me.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's funny, because last night I got Wii Sports Resort.
Oh, yeah?
I popped it in. I'm like, oh, I want to check this out. And it said, you know, you have to download the latest firmware update to play it. I'm like, yeah, I mean, when you can't... Like, if I wasn't connected to the internet... I mean, I know it's on the disc, too, but It's like, I can't play this game unless I get the latest version of the software on my console. Like, why is the console itself not good enough to just play games
really,
made
I think
for
it's just searching for new warnings, right?
Well, that and they're trying to stop people like me from...
Right, which is why I think your argument is a little... Just because you're breaking the rules, so it's like, well, tough luck that you're going to have it harder. But just to, you know, just be playing a PlayStation 3, and you download, you know, you get the latest firmware, and then you can't play because your controllers no longer work.
Like,
I mean, what the heck?
The Wii updates are helpful in some ways, like being able to use your SD cards to launch games helps the storage issue, you know? I mean, if there were no such thing as firmware updates, then you'd never be able to do that unless you got a new, brand new Wii every 6 months or something, you know what I mean?
Right. But I mean, even little things like, this may not even relate really, but I can't tell you how many Xbox games we've played, Xbox 360 games, where we're like, all right, let's go. We have our controllers synced up. We're ready to go. You know, I press start on the title screen. It's like, oh, select your save device. I'm like, oh no, this is under my profile now, isn't it? Like, oh yeah, you shouldn't have pressed start first. I was supposed to press start first. I'm like, oh, well, can we go back? No, we have to exit the game and go back in. Like, all right, well, we'll exit back to the main screen, go back in. Okay, you select the device, choose your profile name, save it there. I choose my profile name. I have to save it to the same spot, but they're separate files. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I just want to play. Like, can we just play the game? Like, I'm tired of dealing with all this
stuff.
Yeah,
even on a more general note, as technology advances, you're going to see some weird stuff happen. I just saw a news article a couple weeks ago. There's certain models of, like, General Electric stoves will turn on automatically if your cell phone rings. it because there's a little computer inside, and it, you know, like, it activates something on there, and somebody's house actually burned down.
Oh my gosh.
Because their phone rang and their stove turned on, they had no idea.
Can you imagine that store trying to tell your friends, and they're like, BS, tell
or
us the real story.
Tell the cops,
like, no,
that thought you burned down your, like, ex-wife's house,
yeah.
You know?
You're like, I swear, I just called her, I just wanted to apologize, and I burned down her house. Like, we don't believe your story. That's baloney. Like, you're going to jail. No!
My Black Doom award is going to go to Microsoft and Doritos.
Wow. Now, do they have a new game out?
Oh. Microsoft and Doritos have announced that Unlock Xbox competition, in which gamers compete to have their game ideas developed into a full-fledged Xbox Live Arcade title, is back. Gamers will likely remember Dash of Destruction, the winner of the first competition. That game was so awful, I'm just scared. But here's what's worse. You ready for the worst part?
Let's hear it.
Things are a little different this year.
Oh. Hold on to your hats, kids. The achievements
there will
are
be
just...
not one, but two winners, both of which will see their ideas developed into an Xbox Live Arcade title.
But who's going to be the best one? That's what I want to know.
Take the two winners' ideas and merge them into one game.
Wait, what? That's a terrible idea.
I'm kidding.
Okay, good. Jeez.
But, you know, and then I guess the fan-selected grand prize winner will receive a $50,000 gaming consultant project for Doritos. So that's nice, but, you know... I just don't want to see more dinosaurs capturing cars, easy achievements, and more... The Adver Gaming stuff on Xbox Live has been just a disaster. I mean, I don't know if you ever played the Yaris game, but man, was that awful.
I kind of disagree with you on this, because hearing that a new Dash of Destruction game is coming out kind of gets me excited.
Why?
Because A, it's hilarious, okay? It's hilarious because of how horrible it is. B, it's hilarious because they're just so self-indulgent about the Doritos stuff. And C, because they just hand out achievements like nobody's business, which is just
that's
comical.
Why everyone's gonna... But see,
it's just so funny, and I hope the next game that they do is just, like, the most over-the-top Doritos unlocking game. You know? Like, they just... Like, constant, like, flashing of achievements. I mean, they could make this really funny if they tried hard enough.
The reason that this is so lame is, A... They have to give out the achievements so easily so that people will actually download it and play it. Not that they want to play it,
but
they just want the achievements.
If it wasn't free, I'd be very upset about this. But it's free.
It's free, yes. I realize. But the other thing is, somebody could come with a legitimate, like, great idea, and they would ruin it with Doritos.
Right.
It's like, here's a great idea for a space shooter. Okay, that's a great idea, but you're going to be shooting Doritos instead of bullets. Okay?
All right, well, let's close out the show with some musical misfits. Some great video game songs have been unintentionally ignored over time, and we play one in full after the show's over for those who are still interested. I get to trade off every other week with our listeners' suggestions. You guys can enjoy my choice of the special stage theme from the Sega Saturn version of Sonic 3D Blast. What's great about this one is how beautifully it updates the special stage theme from Sonic the Hedgehog 2, which, let's face it, was the best special stage ever. So that will do it for this edition of 2P Start Live. Join us every Wednesday for a brand new comic and every Monday for a brand new podcast, although next week we will not be having one. I will be gone and out, you'll have to wait 2 weeks, unfortunately. Well, with that, he's Tim.
And he is Ray.
Maybe that's something that needs to be resolved in the future. I'll tell you what, though, that last panel was really irritating to draw, because originally I had her walking to the left of the screen, and this is one of the hidden details, by the way. I don't know if, I doubt anyone noticed, which is her antenna's been pulled back in, because the mission's over.
No, but, I didn't see that.
But on her way, originally she turned back to go back to the beginning, but it seemed weird that there would be a stage clear and have her going backwards. So I'm like, well, I'll have her go to the right. So I'm like, oh, I'll just flip the artwork. Oh, wait, that's right. Her antenna's only on one side of her helmet. Nah. So then I had to... So I went through all this work to pull the antenna on the front side of her because she was going to the left. And I'm like, wait, how does this actually make sense? Because the front, if you look at the picture of her from the front, the antenna's connected with the front of her helmet.
Right.
But on the side view, they look very much disconnected. And I actually...
Right.
And so I was actually able to work a way where it kind of curves into the the antenna, but all that got taken out because it wasn't, didn't work out.